Now you should listen to this, because this concerns you.
This is about a evil genius in love.
Headed for the door. And I wouldn't walk through anymore. And if I never ever woke again. It's almost worth it.
Hello, hello, hello. This is the Evil Genius Chronicles. This is episode number 224 for May 31st, 2008. I had to really get my ass in gear to record a show this morning because I realized I was in danger of not putting out a show in the calendar month of May 2008, and I really needed to get cracking on that. So thus, you have this show. Let's do the business. This show is a Creative Commons licensed, non-commercial attribution. If you want to do stuff in that boundary, just do it. You're already pre-licensed. If you want to do anything else, come talk to Papa. The music you're listening to is the Gentle Readers. They're at gentlereaders.com. They're fantastic. You should own all three discs they ever put out, gentlereaders.com. If you buy them, that will make you a happier and more sensible person. It worked for me. The show is not kid safe, not church leader safe, not politician safe. So be warned with that. Some of that language kind of gets used fairly frequently. And what else? A bandwidth provided by Cashfly. What else is in the business? This is what happens when you go a long time without show. You forget what the business is. You got to keep up with your own business, my friends. Okay, let's get to it. I'm going to start with a song that may explain a little bit why the shows are coming a little slower. Because I have the same sentiment. Like last fall, I was sent this song by Darren Griffith. And you know what? It just fits with how I feel. It fits with my life. It fits with my priorities. So here we go. This is a song by Corb Lund. And I'm not even going to tell you the title up front because it'll take away from the punchline of my joke here. But this is, in fact, Where My Life Is At. Corb Lund.
Well, I guess I really ought to be making up songs, but all I want to do is play cards. I know it's dumb, it's sick and wrong, but all I want to do is play cards. I got the studio booked in Tennessee, and my record producer's calling me. Tape a roll in just 3 weeks, and all I want to do is play cards. They want to book the band for a rodeo dance, and all I want to do is play cards. The contract claims they got $5,000, but all I want to do is play cards. My agent says we ought to take the show, but to tell you the truth, I don't want to go. There's a real good game, split high-low, and all I want to do is play cards. Dripping guts and stuck in gin and stud and cowboy pitch. Blackjack 8 or better, hold 'em, draw and chase the bitch. Ace seducing, never loosey, hearts and black Mariah. Smear a low Chicago, man, the stakes keep getting higher. Skate for free in the hockey league, but all I want to do is play cards. A tattooed young dark-haired girls call me, and all I want to do is play cards. Well, there's famous people like to ride with me, and the beard, the black dog's usually free. The whole damn world's an oyster to me, and all I want to do is play cards. We're on the radio in El Paso, and all I want to do is play cards. I finally got a little bit of pressing T.O., and all I want to do is play cards.
I don't see much of my friends these days, cause all I wanna do is play cards. So Whitey and Gravy, they like a game, and all I wanna do is play cards. But my neighbor Brent says I got a problem, but he don't know, cause nobody taught him to bet the best when you know you got them, and all I wanna do is play cards. Crib and guts and stuck and gin and stud and cowboy pitch. Blackjack 8 or better hold him, draw and chase the bitch. Ace seducing, never loosey, hearts and black Mariah. Smear a low Chicago, man, the stakes keep getting higher. Contract beards and spades and whiston kings, little ones. Canasta, rook and spite and malice kings, make little ones. Whores and fours, one-eyed boars, house rules that ain't acknowledged. And then games you learn the best cool and at agriculture college.
Core Blund with his song, All I Want to Do is Play Cards. And that's kind of how I feel. Although he kind of gets into that breakdown of, you know, every card game ever invented. I don't play bridge or canasta or whist. But he rattled off a lot of poker games that I do play. I, of course, have been trying to expand my game. You know, I started, like everyone, I started playing No Limit Hold'em, just like, you know, you see on TV. And honestly, No Limit Hold'em is probably the single easiest poker game to play, which is probably why it's so popular and so telegenic, because it's so bounded, right? You got two cards, you know, the possibilities are very, you know, it's very solvable, you know, mathematically solvable. You know what your hand is. When you get to the games that I've actually been playing more, I actually kind of played and won some money last night playing Omaha High Low. That's when you start getting really hard. It plays similar, except you've got four cards and you make two hands of exactly, you using exactly two of your cards each time, and you make a high hand and a low hand. So right away, you've got, just from the high hand and low hand, you've got, you know, multiple possibilities. But the fact that you have to use exactly two, so, you know, No Limit Hold'em, you can play the board, right? If the board is better than what you hold, you know, a lot of times you get to, if there's a straight flush on the board, everyone in the pot is going to chop it because nobody has a better hand, probably. And, you know, in Omaha, that seldom happens because you've got to have two cards, you know, that you use. So it just makes it so much more... It makes it less mechanical because, you know, it's... Hell, half the time you don't know what you're doing. That's what's fantastic about it. That's what I love about it. So that whole, like, 2 or 3 months run-up to Create South, I played so little cards because... mainly because of the guilt factor, right? I'm sitting there, and I would play poker. And I played a little poker now and then just to blow off steam. I think, God, there's conference stuff I should be doing. I should be, you know, getting stuff together. I've got people to email. I've got to get the stuff together. I've got to work on the webpage. And so I'd, you know, take an hour and play poker, and I just felt dirty. I felt like a wrong scumbag for doing it. So then when the conference was over, I kind of went a little nuts. I played a hell of a lot of poker, and I played a lot of it kind of badly, and I sort of donked off some of my bankroll. So I've got to build some of that back up. I am kind of proud of the fact that for my online career, I am a profitable poker player, which I don't know how many people... On the average, you would think, you know, half or fewer of people are profitable poker players. And, you know, not wildly profitable. I'm talking about I've put in $75 lifetime, and I have about $500 in there. So, you know, I've... octupled my bankroll, or septupled my bankroll, which ain't too bad, right? You know, I don't have that many. Apple stock is the only investment that's ever beat that, but it takes a lot of my time. But of course, it's fun, and I like doing it. But that's an explanation of where the hell I've been. I've been playing with cards, probably. And actually, I've really thought about seeing if I could do like Evil Genius Chronicles tournaments, you know, like just for the listeners. I don't know how many people would get in there, and I couldn't offer much of a overlay to the prize pool. But anybody is interested in doing this, I think actually probably the place to do it would be Bodog, because they're like number 25, so they try a whole hell of a lot harder about things like that. I do most of my playing at Bodog just because that's where the lousier players are, I find. And, of course, when you want to be a profitable poker player, you want to look for lousy players, right? You don't want to... You want an edge. You want to bring a gun to the knife fight, right? You don't want to face... I mean, I don't mind facing people of exactly my... exactly... Or better skill level than I'm at. But I don't want to do it all the time. I'll do it now and then. But I don't want to make a habit of that because there goes my edge. Mathematically, I'm going to, you know... I want to play against people that, I'm going to win against, 55% of the time or 60% of the time. That's how you make money, right? So let's talk about other stuff. Let's talk about podcasts. Sometime last fall, something like November, early December of last fall, I actually was having a podcast queue underflow. I had listened up everything, and then I had fewer stuff coming in every day than I had to listen to. And I was actually kind of like dredging through like drives looking for stuff that I had downloaded and kind of set aside because I had too much to listen to. And then somewhere about middle December when I took that trip to San Francisco and then the holidays came, it wildly reversed. And I went from having an underflow to a deep, deep overflow. And at one point, my podcast queue was like 3 weeks long. And I don't know how it got to be 3 weeks. I guess it got to be 3 weeks long in about 3 weeks because I had for the last half of December, there was almost no podcast listening. And I think, if I recall correctly, over the holidays, there was a big burst of podcast production, probably as everyone had time off. And so we're talking about getting close to 6 months of a thick podcast queue. And I've actually whittled it down to, it's about a week now. I'm listening to the stuff from the tail end of last week. And it's actually been kind of, I don't know, I felt weird about it. I've actually at some points considered declaring podcast queue bankruptcy. But then I thought, what do I care? What do I care how long this pipeline is? You know, why do I shouldn't feel any stress about it. The only stress I felt a little bit was when the queue was so long that it had more stuff than would fit on my player, and it got to be kind of a management nightmare, right? I would fill up my player every time I synced. I'm talking about a 4-gig player, too. I had nothing on it but podcasts to listen to. So I'll give you a feel, those of you who handle this regularly, that'll give you a feel of how many damn shows I was behind. And now, I fill up about half of it. I put about 2 gigs on there. But one of the things that's happened is I noticed when I have this deep surplus of listening material, my skip button has gotten very itchy. So the threshold it takes for me to just say, screw this show, hit the button and move on, has diminished pretty radically. And let me tell you about one show. Do I feel bad about calling this show out by name? No, I don't. There's a show out of Vancouver called Ink Studs, and it's a college radio show that gets recorded and podcasted. And it is far from the only college radio show in my queue like that. I listen to several from WRK like that. I listen to it because they interview lots of cool people in the kind of the indie world of comics, which is a world I come from, I like, I've been kind of away from, and I'm trying to get back into, and it kind of helps me figure out where the action is. Where's the good stuff in indie comics today? Because, I don't read any of the comics trades, and I don't read a lot of comics blogs, so I may not know. So I need help. And I listen to it, and I've been listening to it for, Christ, between 1 and 2 years now. It's been a long time. Derek Coward, at one point on Comic Book Noise, did a review show where he went through a bunch of comic book podcasts, and I subscribed to like 3 of them from that. And this is one of the ones I subscribed to from that. But here's the deal. I go through this with podcasts I subscribe to for a long time. I imagine those of you who have listened to this podcast for a long time go through this with me. You go through this with anything like this, or any long-running show that you watch, or long-running book series, or comic book series, or what have you. You hit a point where the idiosyncrasies, like the long-term idiosyncrasies, the kind of the meta twitches of this series or this person or what have you, get to wear on you. I mean, really get to wear on you. And I'm sure my foibles wear on you. And I apologize for that, but it is just the way it is. The host, Robin, and I don't know Robin's last name, but the host of Ink Studs has just started wearing on me. And it's gotten, over the last couple months, it's just gotten worse. To the point where the guy actively aggravates me. I like the guests, but his interview style is, there's a college radio interview style that I tried so hard when I was in college radio to avoid. And he is like slap bang in it. You know, even though he's Canadian, I guess Canadians have exactly the same college radio problems as do Americans. But it's this low energy kind of hipstery, heavy irony, bullshitty kind of style. And I hate this style. And it's gotten to the point where that rubs me so raw. And also, the other thing about it is it's very interviewer heavy. Things like Robin will say someone's name and he'll ask him if it's pronouncing right. And then we'll get a 3-minute thing about how many names he mispronounces and how hard it is. Oh, I always mispronounce the names. Ooh. God, Jesus Christ, just move on to the serious stuff. I don't want to hear this another time. I've heard it 100 times. I don't want to hear it again. You know, don't waste so much of the show with that. And it just rubs me the wrong way. Sorry, Robin. Just wearing on me. You're just wearing on me. So it's kind of goes, here's the way I drop a podcast. I subscribe to it. I listen to it, and typically this is what it goes. Either I drop it right away, like sometimes I may just be trying it out on a recommendation, and I go, oh God, I can't listen to this. But it's typically always related to the skip button. If I have to skip it, within a minute or two the first time I listen to it, if I subscribe, I just unsubscribe. Seldom do I actually subscribe to a new show. I usually add it to my Gigadial queue and just try out an episode, and if I like it, I stick with it. If I've got a regular show and I find that I am skipping it more and more, it's on the chopping block. It's days may be numbered, because if I end up skipping a show, half the episodes or even a third of the episodes, I gotta think through, is this really meeting my needs anymore? Maybe, it's not you, it's me, but maybe we should break up, Ink Studs and me. You know what I mean? It's my problem. It's my immaturity. But maybe we should be apart for a while. I still like you as a friend. I don't hate you. I'm not mad at you. But it's just, I haven't done that in a long time, so I don't really remember what you say. It's been about 20 years since we've had one of those talks. So, I'm there. I'm getting there with Ink Studs. Just tighten up. Tighten up, kids. That's all I'm asking you. I like your show. I like your guests. Just tighten the shit up. Less bullshit. Less talk, more rock, except your rock is talk. So that doesn't work. But but one of the good things about that, too, is that makes me cognizant. That's actually one of the things I hate most about my interview, is that when you're interviewing someone and you inject yourself in it, there should be a damn good reason. You shouldn't just do it. I mean, it should be because it makes the conversation move along and it adds something that the other person is going to expand. I mean, there's got to be a payoff for it. That, I think, is one of the single biggest failings I hear in interviews, and my own at the top of the list. It's what I hate most about my own interviews, is that I find it impossible to not inject myself in it. And really, that's not what it's about. And it's not, I mean, it's gotta be going somewhere when you do that. And I worry that I get too me-centric without injecting enough back into it. And just watch that. If you do interviews, watch that. One of the other things that really contributed to the deepness of my podcast queue is And I can't remember when the show started back. I guess the Gilmore Gang had started back by December of last year. I'm doing one show a week. Well, now the Gilmore Gang is doing between somewhere around like 8 or 10 shows a week. And these were talking hour, hour and a half shows. So suddenly my queue got like another 10 or 12 hours a week in it. Between listening to both the Gilmore Gang and the News Gang live shows. And I've called into the News Gang, I think, twice. I have a strategy there, is that I only call in very seldom, because if I called in every day like some of the regulars, then you're just another knucklehead. But now I'm like, if I call in, you know, every 2 months, special. It's different. I'm like a guest. I'm like a special guest. That and the fact that they record at 4 p.m. Eastern, usually. And for those of you with day jobs, that's like the worst time to, you know, it's like the day's wrapping up. I need people to talk to people, you know. Need to debrief with my boss and all this kind of stuff, and it's just a really bad time to go and have an hour, hour and a half phone call. You know, I have done it, and I've snuck off to the far corners of our office and done it, but it's not generally easy for me, so I don't do it. But on the main Gilmore Gang show, I've gotten to the point where it used to be in the old one, like the IT Conversations one of, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. It was Mike Vizard that would make my skip thumb itch, because he would say stupid stuff. And let me go back to the canonical stupid Gilmore Gang statement. Back when Mike Vizard said there would never be a popular show on a podcast for the same reason there's no popular shows on CB radio. Mike Vizard said that. Always hold his feet to that fire, son of a bitch. That's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard. And so demonstrably wrong, and that's what Mike has said. So let's not forget that circa 2004, that's where his head was at. But now, the person who really does it, I got two. Jason Calcanis can make me skip the show by just doing his hokey whatever act it is he does. But boy, when he turns it on, boys, it gets unlistenable. And so he's about 50% of the times I have skipped the show sometimes. And it could be anywhere. It could be 5 minutes in. It could be 5 minutes from the end. When he cranks up his whole song and dance and I can't take it anymore, I just hit the skip button. You know, when you have 100 shows behind this one in the queue, it makes it a little easier decision, right? The other one is Mike Arrington, and I've skipped probably, of the shows that Arrington is on, I probably skipped 2/3 of them. So I probably skip about 1/3 of the main Gilmore Gang shows, just because I cannot take that guy. Let me even go farther. I'm not so sure there are that many shows Arrington's on that I've made it to the end. Sometimes I make it close to the end, but at some point he will get so douchebaggy that I cannot fucking take one more second of this guy. And people tell me he's a sweetheart. People tell me he's a great guy. I believe that. I believe that he is probably a great guy. But I think his Gilmore Gang persona is this kind of arrogant, swaggery guy thing that I can't listen to. It amazes me anyone can listen to it. What was the thing? He was talking, he was on a show with Mark Cantor. If I were really good, I would have this clip queued up. But I think I've already deleted all these files. He's talking to Mark Cantor, and they were talking about some sort of data portability summit. And he was saying how you know, it's kind of invalid if I'm not there, because I am one of the leading lights in data portability. Even if that's true, that's douchebaggy. It's all part of this persona he affects, and it just makes me tired listening to it. You know, it's just so bullshitty, and I can't take it. So, I've even had this go around with Steve Gilmore, where, he had a thing where he was really getting hammered by whatever that crazy episode of News Gang, where that woman was on his ass about how he was not responding to her on Twitter. He wants to block her on Twitter, and she was responding that it's a First Amendment issue, because you have the right to petition your leaders, according to the First Amendment, which is awfully spurious interpretation to mean that means any other private citizen has to listen to any bullshit that you have to say. That is not my interpretation of the First Amendment. When petition your leaders, I think it's fairly clear that it means your elected leaders, the representatives of you in this government. It doesn't mean any other person that leads anything. You know, it doesn't mean that you can have the First Amendment right to petition the leader of, you know, the Kiwanis Club that you're not in. You know, I don't know. But so around the time that all that was happening, I think Steve felt kind of under siege. And that was around the time I was talking on Twitter about how much I dislike Arrington. And I think he felt I was kind of piling on. So I kind of laid off that and haven't been discussing it on Twitter. You know, and I would post a tweet that says, I just skipped the Gilmore Gang, couldn't take any more Arrington. And I stopped doing that because I don't, you know, I don't want to rub Steve's nose in it or chafe him anymore, but I do it. I do it a fair amount lately. I don't know. This could just be me. Everyone might love him. People might love that act. They might think it's great. I don't even read TechCrunch. I think it's unreadable. So this whole idea is, you know, this whole arrogance that he gets about the wonder of his TechCrunch empire, it's valueless to me. It is unreadable to me. So this big head that he's got, and let me throw out too, I should always point out the axe I could be grinding. He interviewed me years ago about AmigaFish and then never read it up. So I really don't care. And in fact, I'm probably better off with him not writing about it. He sent me this email saying, you know, well, it's obviously not ready to go live. So let me know when you do go live with it. And I never emailed him back because I don't know what the hell he's talking about. I've been live for 2 years. I mean, this was 2 years ago, right? And I didn't know what he was talking about, couldn't figure what he was talking about, so I just went live anyway. I actually really sat there. I'm like, what is he talking about? But, you know, I couldn't care less. And, in fact, I think the whole TechCrunch O-sphere, the kind of the people that read it and the people that think that way, it's just so Silicon Valley, and it's just so opposite of anything I care about, and his priorities are so fucked. And when he was talking, there was an episode where he and Scoble and things were talking about, if you don't have an iPhone, you don't matter. That's a skip button to me. That is so opposite my philosophy that, you know, in order to matter, you have to have paid $600 or whatever they cost for this toy, this Gizwiki. Sure, it's useful. Sure, it's fun, but, you know, I don't consider your value related to how much consumer electronics you plunk down. If I ever feel like that, I hope to be buried alive shortly thereafter, because something's gone haywire with me. One other thing, let's see. Oh, let me mention some good stuff. So after kind of bagging and being negative, let's mention a couple of things I really like. The Spoleto Today Show has kicked back up, and Janet Eden's gone over. And Dan Conover and Jeff Marshall. Be honest, I don't like Jeff Marshall that much, but I love Janet. Janet's a great person. I love Janet. Dan and Janet came and presented at our Create South conference last month, and Janet went through the podcast workshop, I think in part to learn, you know, more audio chops and more editing for the Spoleto Today podcast. And I've lived 90 miles from Charleston for 4 years now. I have never been to a Spoleto event, and I'm not going this year either. One of these, Laurie Anderson is going to be there, and I actually was thought about that, but now we're going to be out of town that weekend, so I can't go anyway. I saw Laurie Anderson perform at Spoleto, I believe in 1988. We took a road trip from Atlanta. We got free tickets from the radio station in Atlanta. We drove from Atlanta to Charleston, saw the show, drove back via Augusta. My parents fed me and my roommate. And then we drove back. I think we were back home that night. I don't think we overnighted anywhere. I think we left at like 8 in the morning and got home at midnight. It was a big day. But I really enjoyed the Spoleto Today podcast. I will have a link to all this stuff in the show notes, of course, at evilgeniuschronicles.org. And so that's what I've really been enjoying. But let me talk about the show I most enjoy. And in fact, Mike Butler just sent me a tweet about it earlier today, or like 3 minutes ago. I saw it pop up as I was talking to y'all. Good, clean, fun. I don't know why, but I love this show. I love this show. It is my favorite new podcast. Michael Butler and Jasper Borgman, so Rock and Roll Geek Show and Plan 9 Rock Show, collide. And these guys just shooting the shit. And it's long. It can be between, it's between like an hour and 2 hours every episode. And I don't know why, but, and I have even, they have done previous versions of his Rock and Roll Geek Indie Cast where it was the two of them, and I didn't like a lot of those. But when they started doing this good, clean, fun thing, I don't know what's different about it. I don't know what's different about the mix or the chemistry. I think it is hilarious. I love it. It makes me happy when it comes up. And just some of the bits, like the fact that, Michael Butler does this time check. You know, they'll start going and they'll go, it's 45 minutes after the hour. And like, Butler usually spends the last hour trying to wrap it up, and Jasper keeps it going. And then he'll get to, it's, then he, when he does, it's an hour and 15 minutes after the hour. That never fails to make me laugh. Every time he does it, and I know it's coming, and it's not even that funny, and it makes me laugh every time. So I strongly urge people to check out Good Clean Fun, which I believe is still in the IndieCast feed. For like 6 weeks now, Butler has been telling Jasper he needs to get a feed together, a separate feed, so he can get it off of that one. And that's now become a running bit. And it's just all running bits. And I, so hopefully, with any luck, I will be on this week's show. I think that'll be fantastic. I can't, I'm looking forward to that. I want to be on there with those guys because I like listening to it so much. So let's get a little bit upbeat. There we go. you know, I thought I had nothing to talk about, and I'm filling up this hour. And that really, really seems to go like that, right? Let's very quickly talk about, you know, I upgraded to a MacBook. So I had an Intel computer. God, when did I do that? March? I finally got an external drive for it. I had a previous external drive, but it was smaller than the hard drive in the laptop. You know, the Moore's Law has kicked in. Used to be five times the size of my laptop's hard drive, and now it's smaller than my laptop, you know. So I had to go get a bigger external drive so I could even back up the damn thing. I got to tell you, I didn't even think about Time Machine. I thought I was going to make a super duper bootable backup on my external drive. I plugged it up, and Time Machine, the first time I plugged in the external drive, Time Machine popped up and said, "Do you want this external hard drive to be your Time Machine repository?" Whatever wording they said. I said, "Oh, okay, sure." And it started going. And it did a full Time Machine backup, and it's been doing the incremental ones. In fact, it's, my computer is doing an incremental one right now. I can see the little icon going. Time Machine is fantastic. It is the coolest thing ever. I think Time Machine, the ease that it makes backing up your stuff. Now, bear in mind, I have never restored from one of these. So I'm assuming that, you know, the backup is... has integrity and would actually work if I tried to do it. Even the interface to Time Machine is just so slick. You go into Time Machine mode and it, like whatever window, you're looking at, like say a Finder window, and it shows them going off into infinity, and you can go back to any point in time and look and see what you had at that point in time. And you can do that with your mail. It's fantastic. It is awesome. I think Time Machine is the best thing ever. It took, that's the beauty. And people, you know, bag on Apple. Man, they make hard things easy. You're doing regular backups used to be like pulling your teeth. It was horrible. And now you could get a backup every hour and you don't even notice that it's happening. And it's so easy to use. And so I guarantee that this has made the computing world better for people, because people will lose their shit less often because they'll just plug up to their external drive and voila, you got some Time Machine backups. I haven't plugged into my drive for, you know, I actually have it in my office now. This is the first time it's backed up. I'm trying to, like, every week. I probably won't get that many backups during the week because I just don't come in here and sit in my office that long. But, like, on the weekend, I think I'll plug it up and leave it in here mostly. And so, you know, I'll be exposed for a couple days. But, you know, it used to be, you know, the whole thing about backing up, like, your hard drive goes starts to go south and maybe doesn't boot. And you always have that nut-shrinking thought, like, when's the last time I took a backup? Oh, my God, it's been 4 months. Oh, no, I've lost 4 months worth of stuff. You know, that sort of thing. When it gets so easy that it's transparent, you know, that it's even happening, then, man, life gets good. If I start to have hard drive problems, I'm not even going to really sweat. I'm like, man, I'm covered. Unless my external drive dies in the next day, I'm all right. I'll be fine. So I love that. And I spent Memorial Day weekend, I worked so hard. I bought this cheapo copy of City of Heroes. Big Lots has them for $10, the City of Heroes box. And I got Ken Kennedy called me out on my blog by saying that I had said I would never do massively multiplayer online game because I got that kind of personality that if I start, I'm just going to go nuts with it. And I will never get anything else done if I do that. And then I was willing to play City of Heroes. But luckily for me, I was saved from my worst instincts because the thing will not run on this MacBook. I tried under Parallels. I have VMware Fusion. It would not run under it. I tried under Parallels. I installed Parallels strictly to try to run City of Heroes. Didn't work. I set up Boot Camp. Booted into XP on my MacBook. Would not run. You know, just giving it up. Now, actually, somebody told me I should try Crossover, which I have run Crossover Office on my Linux box at work. So, I'm like, should I even try Crossover? Maybe I have been saved from myself. Maybe it would be better to just eat this $10 and not have to have the productivity hit. You know, if you think online poker is a productivity hit, probably if I started playing City of Heroes, I'd be screwed. So, there you go. And one last thing, really, I've got one of these things that seems very common in the new media world. And I have just never done it before. I've got one of those podcast teaching gigs coming up in the month of June. And it really seems like, you know, when you talk about making money in podcasts, really that's what it seems like where the bulk of the money is in doing kind of workshops and seminars and speaking gigs and things like that. There's a meeting of travel agents that's going to be here in Myrtle Beach. And it just happened that stuff that I was doing for our conference, you know, in the run-up to our conference, put me on the radar of people that were dealing with the travel agent convention. And they were looking for somebody to do a podcast seminar. And as it happens, you know, a podcast pioneer is in driving distance from the thing, and we talked about it. So I've never done one of these. So I'm going to go and do essentially like a very similar to what we were trying to do at the conference. I'm going to talk about podcasting in the morning, and then we're going to have lunch, and then I'm going to do a workshop. And we're going to sit there, and the people, you know, will have Audacity on their laptops, and we're going to walk them through things that you would do. I'm going to walk through, you know, how you can edit, assemble together files, you know, how you can put it together, how you can post them. And then probably if we get time, I'll probably do a shot of live recording. I'll just take all my gear, right? And I'll set it up the same way I'm doing this show right now. So here's an alternate no edit way. It's more like doing a radio show. And it's easy to screw up, but it, you know, on the upside, I don't edit when I'm done. So hard to argue with that, my friend. So I get to be a new media douchebag. I haven't done a lot of this. I'm kind of looking forward to it. And it is a paying gig, by the way. So that was one of the things it wasn't a make or break, but it's like, God, that's a lot of effort. Am I doing this for you know, the enrichment of this professional conference out of the goodness of my heart? Nah, probably not. I would do it for the enrichment of my community at Converge, at Create South, out of the goodness of my heart. Or I'd do it in Converge South for free out of the goodness of my heart. But somebody's business organization? Nah. I like you. I'm glad we're doing it. But nah, not for free. That's just my crass money-grubbing soul talking. All right, let's play one more song and get the hell out of here. And I'm going to play a song. This song actually has a story. And let me tell you a little about the story. It's a song from Boiled in Lead called Puking in the Heather. And, you know, so when I did the Reality Break show, I talked to a lot of the Minneapolis. There was a Minneapolis fantasy writer. Not even hardly much science fiction. It was mostly fantasy writers that all lived in Minneapolis. And we're talking about, you know, Emma Bull and Will Shetterly and Steve Bruce and Megan Lindholm, Jane Yolen. So there was a Minneapolis kind of mafia, fantasy mafia. And I interviewed Steve Bruce for Reality Break a couple times and liked the guy. And the guy is also a songwriter. And I have played this song. This is a super group of a lot of Minneapolis science fiction fantasy musicians. And I should probably work that out for next time. But here's a song that Steve wrote along with Adam Stemple, who became the lead singer for Boiled and Lead at one point. And Boiled and Lead is a popular band in Minneapolis, so it was a big thing when this happened. I remember on Genie reading the messages about this big, great thing that was happening. It was that Adam was going to front this band. And so Steve and Adam wrote this song called Puking in the Heather, and it is a celebration of drinking to excess and puking. And I love this song. And the story is, there was a point, it was when I still lived in Atlanta, so we're talking about 2002, probably 2003. And I had been listening to this song a lot, like every day I would listen to this song at one point, you know, in my MP3 playlist. This is before podcasting, so I was listening to music most of the day at work. And I had this in my head. My wife was out of town, and out of just sheer kind of boredom and loneliness, I went to one of the neighborhood bars, and I drank to excess. I drank more than I should have. One of those things where I woke back up on my couch the next morning, and I didn't remember coming home. I very seldom ever do this, and this may be the last time in the last 15 years I've done this. And I woke up in the morning, and I just didn't feel right. I was like, oh, geez. And you know that kind of fighting it off thing? It's like, oh, geez. And the room's kind of spinning, I'm fighting it off. And I kind of started thinking about this song. And when I started thinking about this song, I said, I realized, you know what? Puking can be kind of fun. I'm not going to fight it. You know what? I'm going to embrace it. Instead of spending a whole day miserable and kind of stopping the spinning, I'm just going to get up. I'm going to walk to the toilet, and I'm going to proudly puke. And you know what? I did. And it felt great. And then it was over, and I had the whole day back to myself. So, and I even emailed Steve Bruce and told him that story, and he said, that's one of the best things I've ever heard about my music. So here you go. Without further ado, from the album Alloy, this is Boiled and Lead with Puking in the Heather. Thank you.
joy flip it would be.
Yeah, I'd be a rapper as well, you know what I'm saying?
We'd stand upon the hillside.
What would we do?
And you would puke with me. And we're puking.
There you go. Boiled in Lead from their album Alloy. It's on other albums too. Actually, I don't know if it's on other albums. That's like a collection-y kind of thing. I'm not sure if it's on one of their studio albums, but I love that version. I love that song. Boiled in Lead, Puking in the Heather. I will have a link in the show notes. If you want to go and buy that album, I'll have a link to do that because I think you should own that one. Everything on there is pretty good, but that, my friends, it makes drinking to excess and the consequences thereof fun again. Honestly, if you ever get to that point, just think about that song and the decision makes itself. And it's not so bad. It's actually kind of fun. Oh, one last note. I've been talking for something like a year and a half about Super Secret Project X. I'm going to launch it tomorrow. I'm not going to say what it is today. The next show I do, I'll talk all about it, but I've decided that it's now or never. I'm going to do it now or I'm never going to launch it. And you know what? I want to do this project. So Sunday night, I believe it will be every Sunday night, every 2 weeks. I'm going to, unlike this show, that show will be on a regular schedule. And honestly, it's aimed to be a little more commercial than this one. And a little less personal and a little more professional. You know, which if I had to do that with this show, it would be a drag and I would stop doing it. But that show is a different beast. It is, you know, less about me and more about something else. And so watch the skies, my friends. I'll post a link on the weblog at evilgeniuschronicles.org. The show notes will be up there. You can get a hold of me at dslusher@gmail.com. And I hope you have a wonderful time. And, you know, should you do something a little crazy, you can always go puke in the heather. I will catch you again next time. Dave Slusher. Out.